morning, just applauding for these ladies have come and sung for us this morning. I truly appreciate the ones that have come and been able to share with us in song on Sunday mornings. I know it's a little bit difficult right now, and it is difficult to sing to an empty church, but I tell you, when you know that you're raising your voice to an almighty God, and that's who you're really singing for this morning, and that's who I stand and preach for, I'm glad that we have an opportunity to stand and to share the Word of God through song, through the messages that we have. We know that it's not us and our ability, but it's all by the Spirit and the power of God. That if you get anything from this, but I do want to say thank you to the ones that have come and sung for us. Man, it makes it a lot easier for me to get up. It's almost like a little pep rally before I get to get up and preach. I enjoy God preparing our hearts for His Word. If you will take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John this morning. It's going to be a little while before we get to that part. We're going to take a little trip down through the Bible before we get to John chapter number 11. But if you want to go ahead and turn with me there to John chapter number 11. We'll do our best to get there in a timely manner. You pray for me this morning. I ask you to pray that God will just keep the thoughts on my mind that He's placed on my mind and in my heart. And I pray that I'll preach the message in the way that He has given it to me. The girls got up the other night and they sung that song to me. I had actually fallen asleep on the couch, which seems to happen more often at my house here in the recent days. But I was actually sitting and watching something on YouTube, and I didn't do anything but just do this. And the next thing I knew, I was asleep. And the girls came in and said, "Hey, Dad, we want to sing a song to you right quick. Tell us what you think." And they sung "He Knows My Name." I want to tell you, that woke me up really quick. There's something about knowing that the God of the universe, the God that spoke everything into existence, the God that has all the power, knowing who I am. In this world, I'm not a very important person. There's not a lot of people who know me. You get right outside of the little area that we live in. Not a lot of people would recognize my name or know who I am or know anything else about me. But I'm glad to know this morning that God knows who I am. God calls my name from time to time. And as the girls were singing that the other night at the house, and I began to think about that, this message is what came to my mind and to my heart. And I want to share with you for just a few minutes that as we know that God knows our name, that sometimes God speaks our name. I want us to take a look for just a few minutes through the Bible as we get into the message this morning. I want to share with you some events in the Bible, some stories in the Bible. I don't like to call them stories because they're true. But as we look at these events in the Bible of some people that God called by name and the reason that He called them by their name. First of all, we have to go all the way back into Genesis chapter number 3. We know that Adam and Eve was there in the garden. We know the instructions that God gave them. I'm going to be really short with these events because I got a few that I want to cover. But we know the instructions that God had given them there in the garden. And we knew how that Adam and Eve had failed with the instructions that God had left them there in the garden. We know that they failed as God had told them not to eat of a certain tree, of a particular tree there in the garden, and how that Eve began to listen to the serpent there in the garden, and they failed the instructions that God had given them there in the garden. As they realize now that they have failed those instructions, as the Bible tells us, they realize that they were then naked, and they ran and they hid themselves from God because they knew that God would be coming to commune with them and to visit with them there in the garden that evening. And as they went and they hid themselves from God, we find an opportunity here. We find an example of when God called someone's name. We know that as God came to the garden that evening or that particular time of day, that He began to, and I want you to know right now that He knew the whole time where Adam was, but as He entered the garden that day, he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And He called Adam's name. We know that as He walked into the garden, and as Adam and Eve had went and hidden themselves from God, and God walked into the garden and He called Adam's name, and He said, "Adam, where art thou?" I want us to realize why God called Adam's name as He entered into the garden. As God called Adam's name that day, the reason was so that Adam could understand and Adam could realize where he was with God. Adam had already realized that he had sinned. He'd already realized that he was naked, and he went and hid himself from God. But as God spoke his name and asked him the question, "Where art thou?" that Adam had to take a moment and he had to think about, where am I? Why am I hiding from God? What has come in my life that I am now in the position that I'm not looking for God to come and commune with me, but I'm looking to hide from God. Sometimes God has to speak our name so that we can understand where we are with God. If you're listening this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to trust that God's going to call your name before this service is over today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to expect God to go and to speak to you wherever you are. Just maybe a little something that has been said or done during the service this morning will speak to your heart and God will call your name. But you may be listening today and you may know without a shadow of a doubt that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You may know that you accepted Him, that He lives on the inside of you, that He has forgiven you of your sins, but you may find yourself in a place that you shouldn't be with God right now. And sometimes things get so busy, things get so normal in our lives, things get so repetitious that I believe that we fail to realize where we are until God says, "Hey, where are you with me right now?" And I trust that as we go through this message today, that maybe God may speak to your name, or maybe you'll take the opportunity right now and say, "Where am I with God?" and listen for God to call your name. Let's continue reading or continue moving on. In Genesis chapter number 22, we find another example of where God called someone's name. Abraham has had Isaac, and he's got that promised child that God had given him, and Abraham is now following the instructions of God. God has asked Abraham to go and to sacrifice Isaac, and as Abraham went up and to do the sacrifice, and as Isaac asked him and said, "Dad, where is the sacrifice?" and Abraham said, "God will provide," knowing the whole time that Isaac was that sacrifice. As Abraham takes Isaac up on the mountain, as they build their altar there and they begin to get ready to sacrifice Isaac, and as Isaac is laying there on the altar, and as Abraham begins to draw back a knife to take his own son's life and to sacrifice him unto God, following the instructions of God, we know also there in Genesis chapter number 22, verse number 11, you see that God called out to Abraham, and He said, "Abraham, Abraham," He said, "lay not thine hand unto the lad." See, as Abraham was following the instructions that God had given him, as Abraham drew the knife to kill his son there and to sacrifice him, we know that God spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thy hand to thy child." See, sometimes God has to speak to us in a time like this, because Abraham was fixing to sacrifice his son. Abraham was fixing to kill his son unto the Lord. But we know that as God spoke Abraham's name, the reason that God spoke Abraham's name to him that day is because God had provided. We know that as God spoke to Abraham and said, don't do any hurt to Isaac, He said that Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught over there in the bushes, that God had provided. You know what? There's been times in my life that God has called my name. And the reason that He called my name is I was in a place that I didn't know exactly what to do. I didn't know how I was going to have a certain need met in my life, whatever that need was. But God calls my name from time to time to let me know that He has provided in my life. We can continue reading on in Genesis chapter number 46 and around verse number 2. And we'll find Jacob here in Genesis chapter number 46. Jacob is getting ready to head over into the land of Egypt. Jacob is a little bit anxious, a little bit fearful to go to the land of Egypt. There's been a great famine in the land, but I don't have the time to get into all the details, but Joseph has went down into Egypt. Man, you have to go back and read the story to see how God provided everything for Joseph to be able to set the things aside for God to meet needs for people. But as Jacob goes down into Egypt and he is afraid, he is fearful, he is anxious about going down into Egypt, we find in Genesis chapter number 46, as Jacob is making sacrifice unto the Lord, as he is there at the altar where his fathers had prayed that he's getting ready to go down into Egypt, and we find Genesis 46 verse number 2 that God calls his name and says, "Jacob, Jacob," and he tells him, he says, "Don't be afraid to go down into Egypt." You know, there's been times in my life when fear came in my life. There's been times when I was anxious about different things in my life. There's been times, the church knows here that I've shared with them many times, I'm the worry ward of our family. It seems like every family has one, and then we have someone that's carefree. I wish I was a little more carefree like Autumn, but I'm not. Autumn, she just, whatever, it's going to be okay, just trust the Lord. Yeah, and she's our carefree one. Sometimes it aggravates me to death, but she is my carefree one. She's my balance, I guess you could say. God put her in my life for that balance. But I'm the worry ward in my life, in our family. And maybe even as Jacob was here, maybe he was a little bit anxious and a little bit fearful about going down into Egypt, that God called his name and said, "Jacob, Jacob, don't be afraid. You can go down into the land of Egypt. You can go over and read the story and see God's full response there to Jacob. But sometimes in our life, when fear comes our way, God has to call our name. And I'm glad that God knows my name in order to call my name. If you also look over in Exodus chapter number 3, we'll find Moses here in Exodus chapter number 3. And in verse number 4, God calls his name. As Moses is out walking around in the wilderness, and he's out there and he's tending some sheep. He's just doing his thing out in the wilderness. And we know that one day as he's walking along, he sees a bush that's on fire that's not being consumed. He sees this bush, and all of a sudden, the voice of God speaks out to him and says, "Moses, Moses." And as Moses turns his attention even stronger there to that burning bush that's not being consumed, I want you to notice what God says to him. God says, "Moses, you need to take off your shoes, for the ground that you're walking on is holy ground." As we know that sometimes, as we've already covered, that God has to call our names in order for us to know where we are. Sometimes God calls our name so that we know that he has provided. Sometimes God calls our name so that fear is removed from our life. Sometimes God calls our name just so that we know that we are in his presence. Can you imagine how Moses may have felt there in that wilderness, thinking he's out there all alone except for the herd that he's taking care of? And then all of a sudden, when God calls his name and says, "Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're walking on is holy ground," he knows that he is in the presence of God as that voice calls his name. Let's continue over into the New Testament. In Acts chapter number 26, we find that God calls someone's name. There was a man who was famous for persecuting Christians. There was a man who was terrible for persecuting Christians, and he was doing it all in the name of religion, doing it for what he thought was right. And we know that that man's name is Saul. And one day Saul is down on a road and he's headed out to get more permission to persecute more Christians. He's going to get letters to be able to persecute Christians and to come against Christians. But we know how there in Acts chapter number 26 and around verse number 14 that he's there as he's walking on that road, that all of a sudden a voice from heaven calls his name and says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" We know that Saul responds and says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus says to him, or God says to him, "I am Jesus who thou persecutest." Sometimes God has to call our name in order to change our path. We know that sometimes our path, we're on the straight and narrow. We're trying to our best to live for God. And then it seems that something will come along in our life. And even in the name of doing right, in the name of doing good, in the name of being good and moral and just doing our things, or being a good dad, a good mom, a good worker, whatever it is, that our path gets off of God's path, that our ways get away from God's ways. And sometimes God has to call our name in order for us to change our path. That may be exactly why we're in the experience that we're in right now. I don't know the reason for this virus. I don't know the reason that we're in the experience that we're in right now. But what I do know is I believe that people have stopped and they have begun to search for God in their lives. They begin to look at the path that they're on. And I trust and I hope and I encourage you to listen for God to call your name in the middle of this in case your path needs changing. We know how that Saul's whole path was changed. After this, he became Paul. His name was changed, and he became a mighty warrior for God here in the New Testament. Then that brings us to John chapter number 11. We're going to get to the message now. John chapter number 11, verse number 35. The Bible reads, "Jesus wept." Shortest verse in the Bible, a verse that has so much meaning to it in just two words, and I don't have time to get into all of that. But the story that surrounds this is that Jesus had a friend whose name was Lazarus. And we know that as Jesus is out and he's ministering and he's doing the things that he should be doing, that Lazarus became sick. And that his sister had sent for Jesus to come, because they knew that if Jesus got there, that Jesus would be able to touch Lazarus and that Lazarus would have been healed. They knew that Jesus had the power to heal Lazarus. Yet Jesus was 4 days late. Yet Jesus didn't show up on time. Yet Jesus never came like the sister thought that he should have. When Jesus shows up 4 days late, they're already there. They're already mourning the death of Lazarus. Lazarus has already been buried, and they begin to tell Jesus about his sickness. Not that he didn't already know, but they begin to tell Jesus about his sickness and how that 4 days ago that Lazarus was dead. that Jesus was 4 days late, and they began to tell him, "We know that if you had been here, we know that you could have talked, that you could have spoke a healing into his life, and Lazarus would not have been dead. We know how that Jesus went out to the grave that day, how that Jesus stood there with them there at the grave." And in verse number 43, Jesus spoke, and he said, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Man, what a powerful way for Jesus to call someone's name. As Lazarus has been dead, and even if you go back and you read the story here in the Bible, they say, by now he stinks. He's been in the grave 4 days. But as Jesus walks up and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Jesus called his name. Let's continue reading in verse number 44. "And it was he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, 'Loose him and let him go.'" We know we've covered some reasons that sometimes God calls our name, but I want you to notice what happened here in John chapter number 11. As Jesus called Lazarus' name, as Lazarus come bouncing up out of that grave, I can't help but see it every single time that I mention this scripture. I can't help but see Lazarus bound hand and foot, wrapped up in grave. I almost picture like a mummy as Lazarus is down in this tomb, and I can almost picture him come hopping up out of this grave. The Bible tells us that his face was covered with a napkin, that he was all bound up. But I want you to know something. When God calls your name, there's not enough demons here on this earth to hold you back if you will respond to the voice of God. That when Jesus called his name, that there was not enough mummy clothes that they could have put on him. There was not enough grave clothes that they could have put on him. I'm glad that they moved the stone so Lazarus didn't bust that stone and cause everyone there harm as he come out of that grave. When God calls your name, I want you to notice something. What happened here? Jesus said, when he was talking to the sister, he said, "I want you to know that the reason that I'm behind, the reason that I'm 4 days late, is so that you may see the glory of God." I'm glad that sometimes that God calls my name so that I may see the glory of God, so that I may see the deliverance in my life, so that I may see that no matter what has me bound up, no matter what has me tied down, that there is nothing that's more powerful than my God. There's nothing that can hold me back. When God calls my name and I respond to the voice of God, that nothing can hold me back from the power of God. He says, "I want you to see the glory of God." Sometimes God has to speak to our name so that we can see his glory. I'm glad sometimes God calls my name. I'm going to bring this full circle with you for just a moment right here, and we'll close. We know that sometimes God calls our name in order for us to understand where we are. We know that God has to call our name so that we can see that God has provided. We know that God calls our name so he can calm our fears. We know that God calls our name so that we will acknowledge his presence. We know that God calls our name sometimes to change our path. And we know that God calls our name so we can see his glory. Now, I want to tell you a story that's not in the Bible. I want to tell you something that you can't find in the scripture this morning, because this is my story. See, when I was 7 years old, I had been exposed to church. I had been in God's house 9 months before I was born. Not missed many Sundays, Wednesdays. Been in church. But see, you know, there came a night when I was laying there in my bed, living up here in Cana, Virginia. Again, nobody much knew who I was. Nobody knew my name. I was a nobody. I was a 7-year-old boy. Now, my family, knowing my name, nobody knew who I was. But see, there was a night that I was laying there in my bed, and again, my brother was 4.5 years older than me, and he tried to make me terrified of everything in the world. I just knew that Jaws lived in our toilet. Jaws lived in my bathtub. That little clown, It, he followed me everywhere I went. Jason, you know, the one from the horror movie, He made noises around our house all the time. You remember that little ch-ch-ch-ch? Yeah, my brother was a professional at that noise. And every time that he caught me in the dark somewhere, that was the noise that I heard. I was terrified. But even that night as I went to bed, I would always take my little tape recorder or my little tape player. Some of y'all don't even know what a cassette tape is. But I would take my cassette player and I would put in gospel music. And I would begin to listen to that gospel music as I went to sleep every night. And that's what calmed my heart and calmed my fears. But I remember that night as I laid there in my bed, as I began to listen to that music, as I began to think about things, I would always say my prayers before I went to bed. And that night I can remember saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake," and I stopped right there. And right there in the middle of that prayer, right there in my house in Cana, Virginia, in my bedroom, as a 7-year-old boy, God called my name. God called unto me, and God spoke unto me, and I realized, and I knew that I was lost. I knew that if I should die before I awake, that even though I was fixing to say the next line, "I pray the Lord my soul to take," that that's not what would happen, because I had failed God in my life. You know what? I didn't understand what all sin was. I didn't understand all the different things. I didn't even understand a relationship with God. I couldn't have quoted Romans 10 and 9. I probably might have quoted John 3:16. But you know, all of that didn't matter. What mattered at that very moment is that the God of all the universe, the God of glory, the God of heaven, reached down right there where I was, and he called my name. And even as a 7-year-old boy, now I didn't know all of this was happening at that point in time. I couldn't go back at that time and tell you that these things were happening, but I want you to notice what happened when God called my name. I realized where I was at. Just like Adam and Eve realized where they were in the garden when God called their name, when God spoke my name there in that bedroom that night. And no, it wasn't an audible voice. It was one much louder than that. It was that small, still voice of God that went straight to my heart. It didn't have to pass through my ears. It went straight through to my heart. And I knew where I was with God. I knew that I was lost. I knew that I never asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. Just as Adam and Eve had to realize where they were, that night I realized where I was at with God. Then I knew by the preaching of the Word of God, I knew by the way that I was raised up that salvation had been provided. Just as we spoke about a little while ago, how God provided there for Abraham as he was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, but God provided that ram there in the thicket. I knew as God spoke to my heart that night that he had provided salvation through Jesus Christ. I had heard about Jesus. I knew how he had died on the cross. I knew how he had shed his blood to forgive me of my sins, to bring me into a relationship. No, I couldn't have explained that all to you then, but I'm so thankful that as God spoke my name that night, that I realized that salvation had been provided. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that meant me, even a 7-year-old boy, because God called my name, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I knew right then that I didn't have to fear. Just as God called Jacob's name and said, "You don't have to fear. You can go on down into Egypt," that I knew that I didn't have to fear any longer. I may have still been scared of Jaws in our toilet. I may have still been scared of UFOs as a little boy, but I want to tell you something. After God called my name and I responded to the call of God and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, I've never feared hell again. I know that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know without a shadow of a doubt, because of what Jesus did on the cross there at Calvary, not because of my works, but all because of what Jesus did, that I have to fear hell no longer, because I belong to Jesus Christ. I knew that his presence was right there in my bedroom with me. My heart went to pounding. I didn't know exactly how to even to respond except for this. I got up and I ran to my dad there in the living room and I said, "Dad, I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins." And I got down on my knees right there in our living room, and Jesus Christ, God's presence filled that place, and he forgave me of my sins. My path just changed. I was a lost sinner. You know what? Even as a 7-year-old boy, the moment that I realized that I had sinned against God and had not been forgiven of those sins, from that time forward, I had reached that age of accountability and I was headed to a devil's hell. But I'm thankful that night that as I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and now my destination, my path has completely changed. I now have have a home in heaven. He has gone away to prepare a place for me, and I know I'll get to be in his presence. My past has been changed. Just as Saul was there on that road, that when Jesus called his name and his past was changed, my past was changed. I felt the glory of God even right there in our house in Cana, Virginia. I knew without a doubt, as I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, I knew without a doubt. I couldn't explain it to you. I still can't explain it to you. Why God would love someone like me, or how a heart that's stained black with sin, that you can take it and wash it in the red blood of Jesus Christ and it comes out white as snow. I can't explain all that to you, but I know the presence of God was in that place. God changed my life that night. He called my name and I responded to the call of God. I felt the glory of God. If you go back and you read these events that we've talked about this morning, in almost every situation, in almost every example that we've used, as God called these people's name, Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, Jacob, Jacob, in almost every example, you will see that every single one of them had to respond to the call of God. See, the thing of it is God knows who I am, but do you know who he is? Oh, yeah, preacher, I know God. I know God. I believe that he made this whole world. I believe God's out there somewhere. I believe there's a supreme being. Hey, that's wonderful, but it's not. That's not where it's at. I'm asking you, do you know God on a personal level? Do you know without a doubt that at some time in your life, that he has called your name, that he has spoke to you individually, and that you responded to that call, and that you came to Jesus Christ, and you asked him to forgive you of your sins. Randall, if you will, get some kind of invitation together, please, some kind of music. I'm sorry, I know I didn't tell you before service today. No, I'm sorry, Jennifer's here. I was looking for you. I'm not used to people not being at church. Do you know, without a doubt, that you've looked at some time in your life and realized where you are with God and realized that you needed a relationship with him? Do you know, without a doubt, that at some time in your life, God called your name and you responded and said, God, I need forgiveness of my sins? If not, I don't know how to say this to where it's pretty. I don't know how to say this to where it's politically correct, so I'm just going to say it like it's truth. Because the Bible tells me that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted him, if he's never forgiven you of your sins, that you will spend eternity in hell. Hell was not made for you. Hell was not made for me. It was made for the devil and his angels, and God sure don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Let me tell you like it was to a 7-year-old boy. God, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life. That's how simple the prayer was. All this other stuff, that's growing in your relationship with God. Don't get caught up on all that. What you need to know this morning is that God has called your name and that you have responded and asking him to forgive you of your sins. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head for just a moment. I want you to listen for God to call your name. It won't be audible, but it'll be straight to your heart. Listen. Do you know that you've been forgiven of your sins? Christians, church, listen for God to call your name. Maybe there's some fear that you need relief from. Maybe you need to feel his presence. Maybe your path needs changing. I don't know your life just like you don't know mine. But I promise you, God knows who you are. Listen for him to call your name. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray if there's one listening that's watching today, God, I pray that if you have called their name, they've realized that they're a sinner. God, I pray that they'll admit to you that they're a sinner. I pray that they'll respond and ask you to forgive them of their sins so that their name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I pray for Christians as we look at our life this morning. God, maybe we need fears removed. Maybe we need something provided. Maybe we need just to be in your presence. God, I pray that you'll meet those needs. But God, I just want to praise you that you know my name. God, I want to thank you that even though the rest of the world, I may not amount to much, but God, you knew me, you knew who I was going to be, and yet you love me so much that you allowed Jesus Christ to give his life for me. I want to thank you and I want to praise you and give you glory because you're truly worthy. God, help us to always live our lives in a way that gives you glory and points someone else to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. I really appreciate you for taking some time out and sharing the Word of God with us this morning. Looking forward again to the time that we can come back into God's house. I want to take just a minute and say this. Maybe you found yourself watching our Facebook Live while we have not been able to be at church. You know, I know sometimes it's a little easier to just walk in there and flip it on in the living room and to watch the Facebook Live. And maybe you don't have a church. You don't have a home church. If you've got a home church and they believe the Bible and they're preaching the Bible, you stay right there and support that church as long as God tells you to stay there. But if you don't have a church, I want you to go ahead and make your mind up that when church goes back, I'm going to find myself in the house of God. I want to go somewhere where I can draw strength from others to where I can follow God and live for God. Not saying that you can't do that out of church, but I want to tell you something. It's a lot more fun and a lot more better to do it in the house of God. Thank you for being with us. Like, share these videos so that you can send invitations to your friends and to your family to help them to see and to hear the Word of God. Nothing bad don't happen, good Lord willing. I'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Thank you.